go, go, go. Okay, next, let's go. Let's just jump right into the paychecks. First up, Blake Crisan in Florida, rookie agent. He got $100 this week. Woo!
All right, Blake, he's coming on. He wrote some apps this week, too. Yes. He's got more coming.
Yes. Barbara Lowry in Illinois, rookie agent, $298.
There you go, Barbara.
Juan Bryant in Pennsylvania, rookie agent, $711.
Cool.
Megan Wood in Indiana, rookie agent, $850.
Sweet, sweet, sweet.
Next, we're moving into comma paycheck land. So here we go.
Big ones.
Big Four ones. Tad Peterson, Idaho, $1,487. Jeff Wilhelm in Missouri, $1,523. Alfonso, Florida. Alfonso Thomas in Florida. Sorry about that. He's a rookie agent. And his check, $1,606.
There we go.
Katrina Gustin in Florida, $1,730. Mickey Cruz in Florida, $1,867. Lindsey Barron, Indiana, $2,159. Junior Correa in Florida, $2,340. Alain, not a circle, German in Florida, $3,042. Blake and Crystal Spooner, now looky here, in New Mexico, $4,172.
There we go.
I think they've had two big checks back to back.
That's because they're putting up big numbers. It's like 4 weeks in a row they've been spending over $8,000 in premium. Good job, guys.
That's what happened. Paul Epstein in Arizona, $4,820. And I wonder who could be the top paycheck for the week. Let me see. Who could it be? Oh, Lord. It's Joseph Dukes in Arizona,
$10,483. Way to go, Joseph. Where's your daughter? Is she with you, Joseph?
Dude, I dropped her off. She is on the side of the mountain. I am about ready to, I'm going to be enjoying our call from 10,000 feet and hitting a mogul run. So it's going to be awesome.
There you go, buddy. All right. Hey, you run it, buddy. Doing some work.
Thanks, man.
Having some fun. Good job, man.
Appreciate it.
Good job. Cool.
Oh, okay, Lauren.
We need more cowbell.
She got one.
I got a fever. And the only cure is more cowbell.
Woo!
All righty. All right, good job, Joseph. All right, who turn this over to?
Lauren.
All right, Lauren.
Hey, everybody. I'm Lauren Manos, and I will get us started with our agents who passed their test this week. We want to say congratulations to Anna Amundsen in Virginia, hired by Brian Beasley. Maria Aguirre in Arkansas, hired by Mike and Noel Levantovich. Brittany Lowe in Missouri, hired by Joseph Jameson. Ruben Quintero in Arizona, hired by Jay Mann, and Rosemary Rosillo in Delaware, hired by Daylene Maxwell. Good job, guys. I'm passing your test this week. And our agents who hired an agent this week, we have Sherry Jarellico, Heidi Jones, Blake Crisan, Mickey Cruz, Marvin Schroner, Cassandra Breen, Blake Spooner, Paul Epstein, and Dorcas Diaz Velez all hired one new agent this week. Good job, guys. Agents who submitted their first piece of business, congratulations to, again, Busy Man Dorcas Diaz Velez, Mario Perez Flores, Yemeliz Bermudez, Tracy Van Woudenberg. I love your name, by the way. Woo, woo. Tambra Roberts, Philip Markella, Austin King, and Bruce Lee Romero all submitted their first piece of business this week. Good job, guys. Top 10 app submitting or agents who submitted business this week. Starting us off at number 10, Angela Manzo. Six applications totaling $3,637. Nine spot, Katrina Gustin in Florida. Three applications totaling $3,695. First-time app submitter, Rastoni Warren Zuniga with one application totaling $4,130. Juan Bryant, three applications totaling $4,214. Junior Correa in Florida as well. 10 applications totaling $5,621. Number 5, James O'Lara with 9 applications totaling $6,913. Blake Spooner, 6 applications totaling $7,495. Mickey Cruz, 7 applications totaling $7,579. Coming in the number 2 spot, Veray Bradley, 4 applications totaling $7,764. And the number 1 spot this week is, I know Miss Sherry knows.
Yes, I do.
Lindsay Barron! Yeah. 13 applications totaling $10,219.
Woo-hoo! Lindsay.
Good job. And we also want to say happy birthday to Mr. Daniel Sams. I heard you turned 21 today.
I don't know if Ben's calling. He might still have me drinking.
Happy birthday.
All right,
guys. I'm going to pass it over to Mike.
All right, cool. Speaking of birthdays, I know Katrina Augustine, and she's tuning in. She got a birthday on Sunday.
Thank you. So she gets a drink every year. Yes.
All righty. Let's see. All right. So, Lee, we'll get you kicked off here in a second. We'll go, Lee, we'll take as long as we need to. I figure we'll go maybe 30 minutes, but we go faster or not. But I want to give a couple of shouts out here. We'll break it up. But first thing, Noelle just got back from traveling, and she was in Albuquerque last night where they had a record all-time hotspot attendance of 28 people there, a bunch of guests, people are hired. They had agents like hanging from the chandeliers and swinging across the ceiling over there. It was wild and crazy. You had to be there to see it and believe it. People's like jumping up premium totals. Blake and Crystal combined for 12,000. Jerry Gonzalez came out of the woodwork with 19,000 premium. It's not all submitted in the system yet. But oh my gosh, big things happening in Albuquerque. She was in Phoenix the night before with Joseph and Paul and other teams going on. You got big things happening there. Mike Sullivan and Christine Yee coming up, and James and Pamela, you're their name. Big, big things happening in Phoenix. We had other hotspots where other positive stuff is happening. We had a good number in Indianapolis this week. Big number in St. Louis. Had good things happening in Cincinnati. So, in here in Louisville, we had a great hotspot. So, the numbers are happening. So, first thing, if you're like, hey, how do I get my hotspot talked about? How do I grow my hotspot? I got 3 simple things. So, Lee, I know you kicked off a hotspot up there. Is it Fresno? So, Fresno, hey, here's what I'll be telling everybody in Fresno. You want to help make that hotspot big. 3 things, simple things. Number 1, show up. Show up. Number 2, invite people. Invite people. He said, what if they don't all show up? That's why you keep inviting. Invite people every week. And number 3, bring premium. How much? As much as you can, but bring some premium every week. So show up, invite people, bring premium. You will blow up your hotspot. It will become massive. Now, along the way, you got to be nice to people, you got to love people, and you got to serve people. So do those 3 things. Those are the actions. And then the way we treat people, be nice to them, love them, and serve them. Very simple. That's how we're going to build this thing. Massive, 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 and help you build a massive passive type income by focus on simple, simple, basic stuff. Holy. All right. Alliance Leadership Academies. I want to talk about this. I'll come back to it, but I know we got the one kicking off in Orlando or Lakeland, Florida this week. It's Chris Social on Sunday night, going into it full speed Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But I'll come back and talk about that. But I want to get my buddy Lee up here. Lee, my man. I met this guy for the first time. It's funny how you meet people and you remember where they were. We met this guy, Noelle and I did, hanging out in the Haven. What's the Haven? It's kind of like a fancy nightclub, but it was like a special, super exclusive part of a ship, the Norwegian Jade. And it's like the special spot where everybody's in a master suite. I remember hanging out there on this teak wood pool deck. And Lee was there because he brought his mom and he qualified. I got to meet him. We was hanging out. We having a blast. You know, it's like people bringing us their own private breakfast and lunch and stuff. But I remember hanging out and learning who Lee Reyes was. But he was part of Jason Tony Carey's team. I was excited to meet him. I remember going out there and doing a meeting out there in Sacramento a couple years ago and eating sushi with him and hanging out. And I just know he's been a steady, good producer, growing as a leader, making money. Good things coming on. But lately, I've been hearing his name because rumbling's about him changing and getting better and doing awesome things with his referrals. And so as I've been hearing stuff, I've been asking questions and snooping around. And so I got on the phone with him the other day and said, Bo, tell me something good. And he told me, and I will tell you what, the excitement came out. I was like, oh my gosh, we got people who got to hear this story. So, Lee, let me introduce you, buddy. I'm proud of you being here. I know you've been a big part of our team for a few years on the national side, helping blow up the West Coast. But just tell little people a little bit about kind of who you are and how you got started with us.
All right. Thank you so much, Mike. I really, really appreciate it. Real quickly, just a little bit about me. I never sold one thing a day in my life ever before. Never in a million years did I ever think I was going to be doing something involved in insurance. But before I got here, I was living in LA for about 20 years. I was pursuing my dreams and my passion, which was acting. That didn't quite go as well as I thought it was going to go. I was in a theater school for about 7 years, and I was doing the whole auditions and headshot thing down there. And when I was younger, I have a background in martial arts. So that's what my dad's family business is. And I was training in martial arts since I was a young child. I'm a fifth degree black belt. And so I was actually into martial art movies when I was younger, and I got a taste of it. And so that's what I wanted to pursue when I came out of high school. That career didn't quite go too well. So I did what most failed actors do, is I went into professional boxing after that. So that was my second dream that I was pursuing. So for about 7 years, I was training down in Hollywood, California, next to a lot of champions and stuff. And I pursued that for about 7 years. That career, needless to say, didn't quite go the way that I was expecting. I thought that going into professional athletics was something that wasn't going to be as political in it as Hollywood was, and wasn't going to be based upon so much who you know and stuff like that. But getting into professional sports, I actually realized that it's actually more political than even an acting business. So anyway, I was at a crossroads in my life. My mom, for 2 years, had been telling me about this insurance company that her best friend was a part of up in Oregon. Her friend lived up in Oregon. And I was telling my mom, I was like, Mom, I'm pursuing my dreams right now. Like, I'm trying to be Rocky. Like, what are you talking about? I don't want some insurance job. Anyway, I got to a point where it was time to get something stable, like she had always been saying, something that I can count on, and got my license, found the alliance, and I just found an awesome home here. And that's pretty much everything leading up to here. But since I've been here, I've realized that the alliance is my answered prayer. For 2 years, I was like on my hands and knees, like praying to God for like, send me some kind of opportunity. I didn't care what it was. I was like, just a team that I could help support, somebody or a team that could help support me, a purpose, a mission, a good way to make money. And man, it all came in the form of this alliance, and it's changed my life ever since. So real quickly, I just want to say one thing, that I do feel that I have like ties, Mike and Noel, to like your guys' team. I feel like I'm an extended family member to you guys, because here's what happened. In my first couple months being in here in this company, I wasn't making any sales at all. Like, I was completely like not making a dime, and it wasn't that the system wasn't working. That's what I was thinking. But when I look back at it, I wasn't applying the system. I wasn't doing any of the 8 steps. When I wasn't getting any sales, I wasn't talking to my managers. I wasn't getting coaching. I wasn't doing the reading. I wasn't associating. Basically, I wasn't doing any of the 8 steps. And I was choosing just to go about it my own way and just go through hacking it. And I was about to quit. And National Convention was coming up. And my mom and I were going to go to the National Convention. And that year, it happened to be the worst storm in like the history of the East Coast that was coming through that year. And when we flew from California to Texas, all flights were stopped going in to the East Coast. And we looked for about 2 hours, 2-3 hours of like all different flights that could possibly get us close to that area. Nothing was happening. It was all shut down for like another week, they were going to say. And it was crazy because we were going to get our bags at a baggage claim in Texas. We were literally had our bags in our hand. And, you know, I had texted Jason and Tawny this and when we were coming back into the circle around to go through the airport to go back home. And I get a text right when that happened, right at that moment, and said, there is a team. There's a guy named Mike and Noel Leventovich. His admin assistants are going to be there. Like in Atlanta, they're flying in. Okay. It's going to be Lauren and Cherie, and they're going to be in Atlanta. You guys can hitch a ride with them from Atlanta and drive all the way up from there. And so we ended up doing that. It was crazy because we met them in Atlanta. From Atlanta, we were going to rent a car there. There was a nice gentleman who was overhearing our conversation in the elevator. He volunteered to drive us up there 10 hours to North Carolina because that's where his finishing point was going to be.
Hey, wait, time out. Didn't your mom tell you not to hitchhike with strangers?
Yeah, she did. Yeah. And so what was crazy was I was going to quit. I was literally going to quit. Like, I was so frustrated and angry at that point that when our flights weren't connecting, I was like, see, mom? I was like, I knew this wasn't meant to be. I was like, let's go. Let's turn around. I was like, let's use the money we were going to go spend to go on a vacation or something to L.A. or something. And so anyway, we hooked up with your guys' team. And if it wasn't for that one moment at that one point in time, I know for sure I would have quit. That's how important National Convention was for us. We teamed up, we buddied up. I didn't know the managers were actually working on getting people that were still trying to get in, you know, behind the scenes to like work out certain things. And our upline worked it out. Mike, I got to thank you so much. And that really saved my life with the Alliance. But going to National Convention, that's how huge it was, because from that point on, I was so fired up and I got so much information and saw the vision from going to National Convention. So that's how big attending major events is for me, because I was 2 seconds away from quitting. Cannot wait, by the way. If you haven't been to National Convention, we got family reunion coming up, man, in a few more months, and it is going to be on fire. But each time I've gone to one of these events, it's been life changing. The stuff I'm going to share today is totally inspired from stories that I heard over there at National Convention a couple months back or a month and a half back. And one last thing I want to say is there's moments where you associate. Everything that I'm going to share today, it's all coming from association, the power of association. There was a time about 2 years back where I met Mike again in Sacramento, California. I'm from Fresno in the very central part of California. So there was a time period where different leaders of the Alliance were coming down to Sacramento, you know, every few weeks, and Mike came down and Noel came down. That's where I got a chance to meet Paul Epstein and Joe Dukes and stuff like that. But man, there was things that Mike said in that meeting in Sacramento that 2 years down the line I've been operating with, that I've been thinking about. There's seeds that he planted at that time, just in conversations of teaching there with that small group, that have had a profound impact on my life. For instance, we were in a small little group. There's probably about, I don't know, 7-8 of us there that day. And a new agent that I just hired was sitting next to me. And we were in this room at the bottom of this hotel. And, you know, he had asked Mike, he goes, so how come there's no meeting here? And Mike had said, well, it's a lack of leadership and focus, you know. And at that point, I'd been there like almost a year. And that day I was looking around going, yeah, where's all the leadership around here? You know, that's what I was thinking then. And lo and behold, man, 2 years down the line, okay, I realized that when you're looking around at where's the leadership going to happen from, it starts, man, inside the circle of you. And I realized that this year is about taking some responsibility and having a little bit more leadership and focus and stepping up to the plate. So just 2 weeks ago, I started two hotspots in Sacramento, California, and in Fresno, California, going down here. So We're doing both of those now, and we're looking really to fire it up, have a West Coast takeover here. And I just knew at one point in time, like, those words that Mike was always telling me were, like, going through my mind. I was like, shoot, maybe that leader's me. You know what I mean? And so, anyway, Mike, I got to thank you, because your influence and things that you've taught me, man, has changed my life big time. So I had to say that first.
Awesome, buddy. Hey, I'm glad you're here. I want people to get a sense of how much premium you typically write. Like, for the last 2 or 3 months, what's a typical month of production for you? If it's a month when you're working the whole month, what are you typically issuing in premium for the month?
Okay, awesome. So the last four months, I've issued paid over 20,000, last 4 out of 5 months.
All right, that's a good job, buddy. And I always like people to understand that we didn't just find somebody that fell off the turnip truck and put them on a call to help teach you, okay? So we got somebody up here, and we got to teach them about selling. They're good at it. And if he's issuing 20,000 a month, you could take it to the bank that what he's telling you is working. Okay, so that's the big thing. Now, tell me, up until 5 or 6 weeks ago, how good or bad were you at getting referrals?
So here's what was crazy is I was going through the motions of getting the referrals, because Jason and Tawny Carey would always be saying, make sure you get your referrals. So I was going through those motions so good. I was getting the referrals in the home. But I wasn't calling them, Mike. the fear of doing something outside of my comfort zone, man. I was collecting them in the home, and I was not putting out a call. I wasn't doing what I promised the client I was going to do, was notify their people on their emergency contact list of giving them my information so that they can contact me in case they passed away. I just wasn't doing it. I wasn't doing it like the last 3 years. Here's what's crazy about it. All these other months that I did over 20,000, it literally was just from the leads, and it wasn't from contacting my referrals. We're calling them free referrals, y'all. And it was crazy because it's literally just not making a decision to get out of my own comfort zone and do something that wasn't uncomfortable, but was going to equal tremendous amount of profitability, right? So I made a different decision recently because I was watching Albright Access on YouTube, and these guys were asking business owners from Keto Logic, were asking Andy, what's going to be his biggest hurdle moving into the future? And he was saying that it's leadership and it's focus. And he was saying he's going to have more leadership and focus. There's going to have to be more focus within the leadership. And I was talking to Tawny Carey, and we were breaking down this idea of leadership and focus. And she had asked me this. She goes, Lee, if you're doing the same thing right now, this year, and this was just a few weeks back, she goes, if you've been doing the same exact thing and you're operating the same exact way as you were last year and nothing's changed, you're not going to experience any growth. You're going to end up in the same exact place end of next year if you're not changing anything, okay? And so I took that idea in, and the idea was, what of the basics, what maybe of the ATM in-home presentation are you already doing that you could just do a little bit better? Like, where can we apply our focus? Because we were talking about what you apply your focus on and what you put your attention to is going to be the results that you're going to get, okay? So I was reading real quickly. There's this book here at the National Convention. I got this book here, Awaken the Giant Within. You can get it at the bookstore. Awaken the Giant Within by Tony Robbins. And he was saying this. He was saying everybody always wants to change their entire life. They want to make this huge change of their business or their life. And he was going, what people don't understand is it's a small incremental change that through time will equal a huge overall change and a masterpiece down the line. So he was just saying, like, as an example, if you have these two boats going along like this, and one boat going the same pathway makes a 1% change, and eventually through time, this boat is going to end up in a completely different place, right? So I started thinking about, what are those 1% changes that I can focus on that are going to get me completely different results? And one of those was referrals. Because I heard at National Convention, Sydney, who's Justin Balick's fiance, I heard stories that somebody did 115,000 issue paid without any leads. That is crazy. When I heard that, I got crazy because I said, something's got to change. Like, it's happening, right? I also, a major inspiration for what I'm going to share right now is James Coleman. Once he put referrals into his system, he did something like 80,000 issue paid inside 2 months. And could you imagine doubling your profitability, but cutting your lead cost down at the same exact time? Okay. Could you imagine cutting your leads all the way down and still having more profitability? So I believe that we're getting a 1% response back from the mailers and the leads that we put out there. I don't believe that the rest 99% don't need insurance. They're just not the ones who actually took the time to fill out the form and send it back into us. So I feel like this referral system is a way to crack into the other 99% of America who just happened not to send that form back to us and request help. So this is huge. I started implementing these ideas. It happened through my association. And should I just get into how it is that I go about it at this point?
All right. So here's what I want to hear. Well, here's what I heard so far. So you were good at getting the referrals. You were good at asking for them, but you weren't calling them. So let's start with exactly what you do to get them. Let's just start right there. So what have you been, because you've been good at that part for a while. So talk to us about what you're doing to get them.
Okay. So here's exactly what I'm doing now. Okay. As I'm filling out the application and I'm getting their social security, I'm getting their phone number, all the most important stuff, and I'm filling, you know, almost done with the application. As I'm filling it out, I turn over to that ERS page. Okay. Now I don't read right from it, but I let the client know this. I go, okay, while I'm finishing this application, the last thing that we have to do is set up your emergency response system. And basically, what that is, it's a fancy way of calling something your emergency contact list. Just like when went to school, when you went to work, when you went to the emergency room, you had to fill out an emergency contact list, and it's pretty much the same thing. Because a little while back, our company found out there's over $1 billion of unclaimed insurance money just sitting there in America right now. And it's not because the insurance companies didn't want to pay it out. It's just gone completely unclaimed. And the worst case scenario is you guys are making these payments on this every single month. And if people can't find any of the information on the company and they don't know who to contact or call, that just goes completely unpaid. So that's the worst case scenario. What happens almost all the time, years down the line, people misplace the paperwork. They don't know where the policy is. They don't know who to contact or call. They don't know the name of the insurance company. So we have here an emergency response system, and I take the form out here, this form, the ERS form, right? And I give it to them, and here's what I do here. I go, so there's a list of 20 names on here that my company wants. I turn it around, and I give it to them like that. I said, here's a list for 20 names. Now, at that point, they drop their jaw, and they usually go, 20 names? Like, I don't even have 20 friends, right? So from there, I go, right. And I drop and lower my voice, and I go, so I always tell my company that people usually don't know 20 names, but what happens is we need a minimum of at least 10. So we have a minimum of at least 10 because through time, only one or two actually give us a call back out of this 10. Now, this is your list. Most people do between 10 and 20 names on here so that they can, this death benefit can be claimed to be, can be paid out and issued out. So they go ahead and work on the form from there. And that's pretty much how I get them in the home. And I'm thinking about something that I heard in Sacramento 2 years ago, Mike, say that people only do what's in their best interest to do, what's in their best interest to do. So I'm not making it like I need to get this. I'm explaining the concept to them. And that's why I go over, they're making the payments. If nobody knows or has any of the information, on the company or me, that this won't get paid out. And And from there, you know, I just get the list. But I really make it really clear that we don't want that money to end up part of this over $1 billion of unclaimed insurance money.
That's right. Okay. So you're making sure that's part of what you're doing. So when you start writing, now you start writing down the names. Once you get started, and let's say you get to like 8 or 9, what are some of the things you do to make sure you keep, you get the 10 or 9 or 20 or whatever is your goal is?
So my goal is 10. And what happens is lately I've been setting the expectations. I'm not questioning it. And there's no doubt in me when I'm giving them that list that we need a minimum of 10 names. Like, that's a fact. Okay. And what else was I going to say? I forgot the other point that I was going to say, but basically I need a minimum of 10 names. And, you know, if they're having struggle, if they're having a hard time struggling with stuff, I can say something like, you know, if it was Thanksgiving, who would you have over the house? Right. If it was a Super Bowl party tomorrow, who would you have over the house? We need a list of local friends and family that I can contact, so I can give them my information and drop off information to them about the company. God forbid something happened to me, or I'm not working here with the company anymore. They have this information.
Okay. So I think that's big. All right. Now, if somebody's really having trouble, I got a tip I heard a long time ago, Lee. I say, Lee, hey, we need to at least get to 6 here. You know why?
Why?
Because do you know what this sound is? Do you know what that sound is, Lee?
What's that?
That's the sound of your casket dragging down the church steps, hitting every step along the way because you only got 2 friends. If you ain't got 6, your casket's going to drag.
That's awesome. I never heard that before. That is awesome.
All righty. So it's all good, but either way, you're convicted. All right, so now you've got the list. What do you do next? Now you've got it. Are you doing anything to make the soil fertile so when you call it, you get good results? What are you doing right there? So now you've got this list. What do you say now that the list is done?
Absolutely. So the next step that I do is we have the app filled out. They signed it. We have the ERS page there. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, all right, next thing we got to do is we got to do a selfie together. I take a selfie of all my clients and I make a joke of it and I go, we got to do a selfie so you don't forget what I look like. And we do a selfie together. Okay. And from there, I'm going to text them my number. They have the selfie. We're going to program each other's numbers in each other's phones and stuff like that. And from there, I'm going to ask them if they have a copy machine at the house where they can take a copy of this ERS page, or I'm going to take a picture of it and send that over to them if they can't make a different copy. And what I'm going to say to them from there is I'm going to go, okay, so here's what happens. If most people are probably like me where if I don't know the number, I'm not picking up the phone. So if you could, I have a preset text here. If you can text your people on this list, this preset text that I'm going to say, so they know what my number is and they can pick it up so they don't think I'm a telemarketer, that would be awesome. So my text says something like this. I say, hello, my insurance agent Lee Reyes is going to call you on my behalf. And before you ask, yes, everything's okay. He's going to be calling from 323-273-6030. Please take his call for me. Okay. So they're going to text their list at that point for me right there. Okay. And that is an adjustment that does a lot of the heavy lifting by the time that I call these people and they've actually texted their clients. Like setting the appointment, it is super, super easy.
All right, Lee. So real quick, somebody asked a question. Once you've taken the selfie, do you text them a picture of the selfie?
Yes, that's what I meant. Exactly.
Just want to make sure, clarifying. Good. Okay. All right. So then, here's what I heard. You text them the picture of the list. You then give them the basic text. So you text it to them. So it asks them to text that to each of the people on the list. Do you ask them to start doing that right then and there?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. Do you ever get any pushback on that?
No, not at all. And here's the thing, because the best way to handle an objection is to handle it before it comes up, right? So what I'm going to say, and the reason why I'm not getting any objections, is I go, so my simple job, I let them know right then and there, is to give them my contact information and also to drop off information to them about your company, okay? And the reason why they have me going out there and doing that is because years down the line, in case I'm not working with the company, or God forbid something happened to me, they have information on the company and they know who to contact or call if I'm not here for any reason.
And by company, you mean carrier, correct?
I mean the insurance carrier. Right.
Okay. All right. Just making sure. I want to be clear. Okay. Yeah.
Can I say one story right here real quick?
Go ahead.
2 weeks ago, my belief in the system completely changed, because I met a client who had a policy in place, actually from an agent who was from from NAA about 6 years ago. Now, I helped her get an additional policy in place, okay? Now, this agent doesn't work with our company anymore, okay? Years ago, she misplaced the paperwork. She didn't even know the name of the company, okay? And she was on a first-name basis with her agent. They were good friends. And he's not giving her a call back at all. Okay. So in this situation, as we were doing the ERS, I said, for your exact situation, I said, if you passed away yesterday, how would your death benefit get paid out? And she goes, oh my gosh. She goes, you're absolutely right. At that point, it impacted her so much that she gave me a list of about 22 people, list of names on my ERS page from there. So first and foremost, that is the first service that I'm thinking about providing to our client, because I don't know of any other insurance companies that do this. Most insurance agents or people wouldn't care. And I also let the client know this. If you passed away, how would the insurance company know? They just know that you stopped making the payments, but they would never know you passed away. And God forbid, let's say the beneficiaries passed away before you, and then you passed away, who would have any of the information? So I make that really clear in their understanding why we're doing this. And also, I understand first and foremost why we're doing this, so that her death benefit could get paid out. She was a single lady. She had a policy for her loan on the house, and it literally wouldn't have been paid out. I have a friend here on our team whose dad passed away right here locally, next to me here in Fresno. He had power of attorney on his dad, who passed away from sudden cancer last month. And if somebody says, well, we can go and look in the bank accounts. Well, if you were to try to access that, my friend here on our team has power of attorney. He's not able to access any of the information in his dad's account to even try to find out if he had a life insurance policy in place.
Wow.
So first and foremost, I really believe in this process of what it is that we're doing and why. Secondary is it on the list is possibly helping out friends and family, but I really believe in this, you know, what we're doing here with the response system here.
Okay. All right. So we've gotten collecting the list. We've got prepping them for what we're going to do. All right, so now you've gotten home and you've got your stack of ERS forms. So now what do? You go and hide them so you don't have to call them?
That's what I used to do. That's what I used to do. And here's what's awesome about what I'm doing now. I got a treasure chest full of these ERSs that I can go back and contact. So let me share with you what it is that I do when I get on the phone. And the people that sent the text through, it's booking super fast and easy. Now, I did have a 78-year-old client this last week who didn't know how to text, and her phone was like this big, and she didn't text, but I let her know, I'm going to be dropping off information on your company to your list. She was like, great. They believe it. They understand it. They want me to do it. And when I did call those people, you kind of got to go really slow because you're kind of calling them out of the blue. They don't really know what's going on, but here's what it is that I say. I go, hi, Mary, you don't know me, but my name is Lee Reyes, and I'm your sister Elba's life insurance agent. And a couple days back, I helped her get a policy in place that would help pay for and take care of the mortgage in the event of her death. Now, the purpose of my call right now, Mary, is because she's elected to have you on her special emergency contact list. And basically what that is just a list of her trusted friends and family that could give me a call or notify me so I can do everything on my end if she passed away to get this benefit paid out and issued out from the company. Does that make sense?
They say,
okay. And then I go, awesome. And are you okay with that?
Yes.
Okay. And I go, so here, do you have a paper and a pen? Get a paper and a pen out so you can take down my name and information. I give them my name. I give them my number. And I also go like this. Now, Mary, there's also a benefit in her policy where if she ever went down because of a terminal illness, maybe she had a heart attack, cancer, stroke, that there's a benefit here where she actually has access to some of her money while she's still alive if she needs help to pay for her medical bills and expenses, et cetera, if she's not able to work. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so she was saying that you live in the Modesto area. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so I'm required to drop off information about her company to you and go over what your role is if any one of these things happen. It shouldn't take me longer than about 5 minutes and then I'm out of there. What time are you usually back home from work?
About 5:30.
Okay, perfect. I can't do 5:30, but I'll be able to do like right in between 6 and 6:30. Okay, so from there, I do the same exact thing that I do with all the other leads. I tie it down. I ask them for directions. You know, I ask if the number is on the house, and I have them go through and visualize, you know, me going to the appointment. But for the most part, when I've been doing this and the clients have been notifying them that I'm going to be calling them, and I explain the reason why I'm giving them a call in this emergency response system so her money doesn't end up being unclaimed and part of this $1 billion unclaimed funds, people have really been kind of like honored or really respect what it is that I'm doing. They feel important because I'm calling it their special emergency contact list, and they're actually really more than happy to have me go over there and give them the information on the company. Sometimes I do explain to them on the phone, I gotta drop off the information to the company just in case years down the line, something happened to me or I'm not working with the company anymore. And they really respect it. And it's like easy. It's easy to set these appointments. So a couple people on my team did this script. Okay. We got Will Perez out there from Ohio. He booked 11 out of 11 appointments just this last week. Okay. We have Dan Silva up in Oregon. He booked like 4 out of 4 appointments. And for me, I booked 15, okay, 15 out of 15 appointments using that script. And also I heard back from Belle Krause after she heard this script, she booked like her next 5 out of 5 ERS appointments. So also when I booked my 15, I booked them in just over like 2 hours. They were the easiest appointments to set. And it's incredible because everybody else so far has been having those kind of same results.
Okay, that's good. Hey, coming back, when you make a phone call to an ERS and you do not get an answer, do you do the 2-dial or 3-dial trick? Do you leave a voicemail? Do you send a text? Do you do anything like that?
So I will dial 3 times in a row. I haven't been leaving voicemails. I'm just going to call back again at a different time.
Okay, good. Somebody asked. Just want to clarify. Thank you. Okay, so now you got the appointment booked. So we collected the information, we prepared the list by having the client do some things to reach out text. We've now called and got our script for booking. So now what do you do when you get there? What's the appointment look like?
Okay. So when we get there, we created a sheet. Jason Carey, Tawny Carey, myself. We put together kind of like this in-home sheet. I did send a copy over, Mike, to you, and I think you guys are going to be showing this to the team. But
in fact, really, while you're talking, Lauren, go ahead and pull that sheet up that he's referring to. There we go.
Awesome. So this is huge because as I've been using this all this week, like this really gives me something to lean on, and basically it goes over at the top. You know, who the insured is, the beneficiary. Sometimes if I don't put the beneficiary's actual name on there, because maybe there's like another sister that didn't get put on there, I'll put, you know, a Johnson family. But basically at the top, it's kind of like what we have in the very beginning, first page of our ATM. It goes over what we cover. Then I got to put in the name of the client, her insurance company. I go on my phone and I put in the phone number to the company. Put my name and my contact number in there. I sign it at the bottom. But before I get to that, I got three main things that I do when I'm going in the home. Whether it's a regular, you know, lead appointment or whether it's this appointment, I'm thinking one thing in my mindset. I'm playing what Andy Albright calls the question game. And you're interesting when you're interested in other people. So my game plan is to ask as many questions as possible. I'm trying to dominate like Shaquille O'Neal and dunk on him on the question game. And if I can ask 100 questions to their like zero questions, like I'm winning big time. Okay. The person who asks the most questions is in control of the conversation. And I'm trying to find out about who they are as much as I possibly can. I'm trying to find out what their life story is. Okay. And that's going to be first. When I do go into the home, sometimes they're not quite clear like why I'm there. And I explain to them again, very slowly, my purpose and my reason here. Okay. The emergency response system, there's over $1 billion. I go through the whole entire thing with them also. Once I tell them that, their guard and their walls kind of come down and they're like, wow, they really respect the fact that I came over here to have to give them this information. In case something happened to me or I'm not here anymore, that they have the information on the company to contact, and I give them all that stuff. Next thing is I'm trying to build a bond and rapport with them also. So there's a couple different things that I'll try to do, because I sat on 5 ERS appointments this week, and only one out of my 5 was like a Stonewall Jackson. So she wasn't trying to talk to me. I don't know if she was like waiting for some kind of sales pitch, and she was just completely shut off. And I got on the phone with Tawny Carey, and she gave me a couple great ideas. You can ask them a couple different things. You know, what's your favorite memory? So I know you know Elba for a long time. You guys are friends, right? Wow. When did you guys first meet? How long have you known each other? What's your favorite memory of Elba? Or you can ask something like, what's your funniest memory that you have of Elba? You know, I know you know all the dirt on Elba. Like, what's a crazy memory you have of her? Just to kind of break the pattern, if there's like a lot of walls there, and people like people who like people, and so to try to bring up a story to pattern interrupt, maybe, you know, them thinking this is going to be a sales process or something, and to get them talking about, you know, great memories to them. Next thing is going to be stories. Stories are what's going to sell here. So when I'm going through this sheet and I'm explaining each of the coverages on here. So when I do go to the sheet, I go, people usually contact us for a few different reasons to get help. Okay. So you know how it says the burial and all that stuff on there. I'm going to go over the emotional reason why people would get that coverage in place. And I'm going to go, so people usually contact us for burial or final expense coverage. Maybe they don't have any at all, or they wanted some additional coverage in place. That way, when they pass away, their family doesn't have to go into immediate debt. They don't inherit any debt. They don't have to put things on credit cards or take loans out to be able to take care of those things. I go, you know, we have mortgage protection programs that people ask us to help them with. Programs that help the house prevent the house from going into immediate foreclosure. We have programs that protect the equity on the house. Maybe they need the house paid for a length of time so that her daughter would be able to, you know, get the equity out of the home. We have income replacement programs that, you know, maybe somebody wouldn't if somebody's income wasn't coming in, they would need help with their bills, utilities, the cost of living. We have programs that do that. And I say we have children grow with me policies and grandchildren policies that people establish, legacy establishing products for children. And I'll say, you know, we also have college children saving funds. We also have private insurance that people get in place separate from work, because everybody knows that the insurance that you have through work, work owns. So if you were to ever get laid off, the company goes out of business, or you just retire or quit, that insurance doesn't go with you. So people get programs in place that they own privately and can control. And I'll say there's also programs where if you ever got a disability or you're injured away from work, you would have help there to help pay for your mortgage and your bills. We also have retirement protection programs that people ask us to help them with, where, you know, there's programs where you have your money here for retirement, and they are protected from market loss. And people ask us for help on those programs. So I go through each one of those things.
Good question. Are you going through everything like that, just like you did? Are you picking, choosing a few things based on what you think is most likely going to apply to them?
Okay, great question. So yeah, I there's the whole menu there. I am picking and choosing a couple things. And what's funny is, as I go through this list, people, and I'm explaining it that way and those concepts of what people are protecting from us, or that we're helping them with, people at that point have usually been saying, what would someone like that be for me?
Okay. So I want people, because if you're like me and you're just listening, you might be thinking, gosh, this is a long list. Is he really going through all this? And while you're kind of giving an example of each one, I want to be clear. I know you're smart and you're aware of your audience, and so you're situationally choosing. Like if they got no kids, you ain't talking about the children's grow-up plan if they're 88 years old.
And, you know, yeah.
So I think that's big.
Absolutely.
Okay. And real quick, some people are asking us if this is being recorded. The answer is yes. And where will it be posted? It will be posted with the rest of our podcasts, which will be up on the Tri-State website. You'll see that there on our blog. So look for that later this afternoon or evening. So cool. Okay. All right. So you're going through, and here's the other thing I heard you say is, they're typically stopping and saying, hey, whoa, how much does that cost? You don't say, well, I have to keep reading you the rest of your menu. If they're showing interest, I take it you're responding to that, correct?
Absolutely.
You don't say, don't interrupt me, I'm in the middle of my script.
No. Not at all. It's just a guideline to be able to fall back onto. But like you said, like, I am picking and choosing, you know, what I think their need possibly would be.
Okay. All right, cool. All right. So keep going. So you're going through that stuff, and then they start to acknowledge something. What else do you do there?
Okay, cool. So let's say, you know, like, for instance, this week, it happened a couple of different times. I'm going over the final expenses and why somebody would cover that so that their family doesn't have to inherit debt when they pass away and all that stuff. When I explain it really clearly like that, I've had a couple of different people go, well, so what does that look like for me now? As I go to my phone and my quotes, okay, I'm going to say, okay, so how old are you again? And they give me their age. And right before I look in there, you know, I'm going to say, you know, you ever had a heart attack, cancer, stroke? Real quickly, throw that out there and find that out. So that way I can have an idea of what it is that I'm going to show them. And I'm going to ask, what kind of prescriptions are you taking right now? What they got you taking? And kind of get an idea of that real quick. Now, as I'm going to my quotes and I have that idea of what I'm going to show, and if you're a newer agent, I was telling a newer agent of mine, like, you definitely at that point in time can call your upline, let them know, and that way that you can have some help on direction of which carrier would be the best for them. I've been doing it a while, so I kind of know, you know, really quickly what it would be. And as I go there, I'm developing their why, because he has interest on getting a quote and getting a number. But this is an emotional sell. And they're not, they're, you know, if they're not hooked as to a reason why they have to get it now, why there's an urgency to get it now, they're just going to think about it and not get it now. So what I'm going to do at that point, as I'm looking up the quotes for the company, I'm going to start collapsing that time, because we're finding out the why, like in the ATM, but I'm doing it simultaneously. So I'm going to ask them, so if you passed away yesterday, who would have to come out of pocket and pay for it all? You know, it ended up being his son. I said, where's your son work at again? He works at the Pizza Hut. Wow. So what would he do? That was like his only, you know, family that he had was his son. How would he pay for it? Would he have to put it on credit cards, or what would he do? Like, the answer was he didn't know at all. So as I'm looking up quotes, I'm going to start creating an emotional reason why he would need coverage and why it's better to not put it off now. Does that make sense? So I go ahead and develop that, and I'll write it down. His name was Sean. So I'm saying, so your son Sean wouldn't be in a state of financial devastation in order to bury you and take care of that. So I'll write that down. Okay.
By the way, real quick, what I just heard you do, I bet you're doing on every final expense appointment, lead or no lead, that you're sitting down on. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
That's called building the pain. So here's what I'm hearing what you did. You're going to this person that's on the ERS list. You're creating some bond rapport. You're showing them how you served the person you already helped. And then you're showing them what we do, which is effectively allowing something to spark some interest, or almost creating a lead on the spot. And when you see that there's interest, you already have the appointment because you're there. You're now good jumping right into the why or the pain part of the appointment to clarify it. So now you can jump in and create a solution.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. So I want people to see that process, because we're very big on teaching the appointment process, which is make a friend, find a needed, and clarify the pain, ask health questions, then lay out a solution. And so basically this dovetails right into that. So if somebody's listening and they know the process we train, what you're hearing is just a very simple front end of saying, hi, I'm here to serve so-and-so, nice to meet you, blah, 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 bond rapport, here's why I'm here, here's the form, here's the information, I'm leaving you. And by the way, here's what we do. You highlight 2, 3, 4 things, so you get affirmation, nodding head, or a question, and you go in to clarify the why or the need. Okay.
Exactly.
And for that, the rest of the appointment pretty much takes care of itself. Am I right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right. So we have covered quite a bit, but I think we covered all the key things. So if I recap what I heard, 1, you're booking appointments through leads in your normal process while you're there. 2, you're taking the time to get your referral sheets with an expectation of 10 to 20 on every household. 3, you're making sure the soil is fertilized by giving them instructions to contact each person on that list via text. 4, you're getting home, you're calling the people at your next dial session, you're booking appointments. 5, you're going over the sheet, buying a rapport, serving the previous client, and then going to a commercial, if you will, of highlighting what you do in a way with telling stories that leads to interest. When they hit on something or take a nibble, you go into asking more questions to develop the pain. That's what I heard you doing.
Yes, sir. And can I add one more, like 2 more things real quickly?
Go right ahead. Please do.
What's awesome about this is back to the 1% response back that we're getting from this lead. Well, now we're tapping into people's warm market. So I'm already in there with somebody's warm market. I'm already a friend of a friend, or a friend of their family member who is already good enough that they helped or that they trusted to get help from. It's huge. It's like so much easier, because you're not going in there with you as the salesman, you know, walls up when you're doing these appointments and initiating them. One reason that I want to say that if you don't get a sale, one thing that's pretty awesome is we also have the opportunity at that point. Let's just say worst case scenario, some people have some information your information in their phone. They know what you do, okay? And if they ever did think about getting insurance some point down the line, they'll hopefully give you a call and not the local State Farm guy down the street. And also, we have a tremendous opportunity to pivot and ask them the recruiting question. So we go like this. We go, who do you know that would be interested in making any extra money on top of what they're already making now? Anybody who's young, anybody who needs a flexible schedule, anybody who would be interested in making an extra $500 a week. So that's an awesome thing because I was able to get two recruit referrals this week from one of the people that I helped out on my ERS list. One last thing that I want to say, the reason why I'm turning around and dialing my ERS right away with some urgency is because I waited my first week of getting my list 2 weeks ago. I called my ERS 9 days later. I had six appointments for a Wednesday. This was just last week. And one older sister who's on the ERS passed away, and they all had to call me the day before and cancel the appointments I had set with them because they were getting the funeral and the burial all together, okay? This same client, and this was the client who gave me a list of 22 names because she saw the value in it, she just called me today. And actually, I called her because I saw that she canceled her policy that we just got in place 2 weeks ago. And she told me that the software engineering job that I've been doing the last 24 years just pulled the plug on me, and they told me my last day is Monday. And so that really impacted me because I am still going through her list, and I actually have appointments coming up with people on her list, and she just canceled the policy. So I'm really big now on taking advantage of our advantage of being able to help more people and help out our clients' war market right away, because this has real repercussions. You know, it's not just about setting appointments, but it's about helping people and changing lives. So that's what I wanted to add, Mike.
Okay, awesome. All right. Well, look, I think we've answered most of the questions that have come up through this. As we said, it has been recorded. Lauren's going to get posted on our blog site, on our website, for those that want to come back and listen to it. This is one of those, when you commit to this, there's finer points in this. So as you apply it, apply the work, you'll want to come back and listen again. And Lee, tell me, are you going to be any at the upcoming Alliance Leadership Academies as a presenter? Are they asked you to come in? Are you going to be at any of them?
No, but I did get an invitation and I'm looking to go. So I will be at one of them.
Okay, well, beautiful. Awesome. All right, so here's what I'll say. Speaking of leadership academies again, so we've got the one coming up in Lakeland. It's already booked up. Everybody's got an invite. It's going to be there this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Then piggybacking off of that is the one in Dallas on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But they announced three more sets of dates. So if you haven't heard about these, you either know you need to be at one, or you've got a new agent that you want to get at one, I would say let's make sure you know about it, because the next one, the next series is April 25th, 26th, and 27th in Houston, Houston, Texas. Then in June, there's a June 6th, 7th, and 8th in Jacksonville, Florida. And there's a June 12th, 13th, and 14th in Burlington, North Carolina. And people say, well, which one should I go to? The soonest one you can get to. There's only 50 spots. If I were trying to get the most out, I'd be putting Make, and I get to Houston as my first one. So it's like, but Mike, I live closer to Jacksonville. I know, but it's going to be 6 weeks after that. Would you rather get this knowledge and be able to apply it faster, sooner, and help more families and grow your team faster, or would you rather wait? If you know you want to be there, I'm like, hey, get there to the first one, April 25, 26, 27, April. If you can get a slot, you must apply. Your agency manager must endorse your application and send it off. So if you want to go, get your application in, your agency manager, we want to get you there. It's powerful. Big things are happening. A lot of stories coming on the NAA band of people that are blowing up coming off this Leadership Academy. People that are there are going to come back and change lives. Guys, hey, we're here to help you. We talk about prosperity, and it's prosperity. We want to help you get making money, help you get out of debt, help you get to a point. I want you out of debt where you are financially free and independent, which means that you've got time and money. And once we got that, we can help you focus on making a huge difference, because now we focus on getting you wealthy. Once you're no longer working by trading time for money and you're totally financially free, now you can focus on building wealth and doing some big things. And that's part of what we're trying to do to help y'all out. Guys, rock on. Take care. We will see you. Bye.
Thank you, Lee. Thank you.